Live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB. Brought to you by Mark Keitel with Realty First.
Everybody, it is 7 minutes past the hour, 107 today. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for me, I guess, or maybe Clark Howard. We're having this amazing day, this, as one of my Twitter correspondents calls it, Laborless Day programming here on WSB. Clark was on earlier, Dave Ramsey's been on all day. I'm on now. Adam Goldfein is doing a great show tonight, live 5 to 7 as well. So we have amazing money advice for you all day, and there is just so much going on, it's hard to even know where to start. Of course, we're taking your calls, as we always do. Why should I be the only one just kind of hanging out? Call me, 404-872-0750. Lines are wide open, 1-800-WSB-TALK. So happy to be with you on this Laborless Day, Laborless Day, as opposed to Labor Day weekend. So the big news that's going on right now, and honestly, hard to believe that our markets are closed, but around the world, they are not. And there is a shattering of records going on right now where are absolutely dismal, horrible, I can't think of enough negative things to say about the jobs report on Friday, has shaken world confidence in what's going on in the U.S. People are a little concerned around the world that we're actually going to be falling back into a recession. As you may remember from Friday, the Labor Department report, employers literally stopped hiring in August. Nothing. There was a big fat zero. And that was a big surprise for both economists and investors. The Bloomberg economists almost entirely expected 93,000 jobs to be added. Instead, it was zero. The first time we had seen zero jobs added since way back, maybe in 2010, maybe even further back than that. Not only that, but the previously reported hiring figures for June and July were also revised lower, basically to nearly zero. And the jobs report may be even worse than you can imagine because the official rate is 9.1%, but there are 14 million unemployed people, and there are another 8.8 million not even counted as being unemployed, the part-timers who want full-time work. Add to that, there's another 2.2 million people who are discouraged and have thrown up their hands, and they're not working as well, and they're not even counted. So when you add it all up, the true unemployment picture is a lot closer to 10.6% in this country, not 9.1%. And if you look at the U6, which is the largest measure of unemployment, it's the fullest picture. It includes the unemployed, the part-timers who would like to be full-timers, the people who have fallen off the rolls, they don't even count anymore, and the people who have decided to give up and go back to school, and those who decided they're just going to stay home and do nothing. All of those people together, that number actually rose to 16.2%. Really awful. So what's going on over abroad? Asia, the Nikkei is down 2%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng index has dropped 2.2%. South Korea's Kospi index tumbled 4%. In Europe, Germany's DAX is down nearly 3%. The CAC 40 in France is down 3.3%. The FTSE in Britain, down 2%. Down in South Africa, you're seeing their stock market down over almost 3% as well. So there is a lot of nervousness going on right now across the world as everybody's kind of wondering if the United States and all of us are going to actually be able to keep out of another recession. This week alone, it just seems like everybody in Washington is bumbling around. President Obama doesn't even know what day he should give his job speech. Honestly, he's now on Thursday with the big job speech. Today he's in Detroit giving a preview of that this afternoon. I don't think we're going to tap in and cover that live, but we are going to give you some highlights if it unfolds before the end of today's show. 404-872-0750, folks, a couple of lines still open. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. When you look at the proportion of the workforce, how many people who could be working are actually working? That number is also at a near record low. It's down to where it was back in 1983. Think of how many more people we have in this country, and that number is back down. It's somewhere around slightly over 50% of people who could be working are actually working. And the number of part-time people is so huge people who are working part-time, not even full-time hours, and the number of hours hasn't even increased, that economists are now saying it could be that we won't see this 9.1% number go down, and in fact, it could even go up over the next year. Really serious stuff, very much a concern of what's going on, and I think the European, Asian, and African markets are actually showing that. So it is really upsetting to see how we could be having an unemployment situation as high, if the historic norm is 5 to 6%, how we could be nearly double that. The White House alone is predicting an average of 9% next year during a presidential election. And there has never been a seated president who has won re-election when you've had anything over about a 7% unemployment rate. And that is really something. We have a great show today. We're going to continue talking about the economy, what's going on there. There's a really interesting story out about how the post office is nearing a default. Could we see an end to the post office? It's entirely possible. We're also going to talk a little bit about manufacturing and what those numbers looked like last week. Very much a concern. I'm going to be talking a little bit about some other things that I'm involved with. And then over at 9/11, you know, this week is the big 10-year anniversary of September 11th and the terrible, terrible tragedy that happened there. We're going to be talking a little bit today and, of course, more next week about September 11th, that there was a really good story in the New York Times yesterday about Cantor Fitzgerald. And they were at the very top of World Trade Center North, and they lost 3/4 of their employees. They alone accounted for almost 660 employees, people who were lost, the biggest number of any of the employers, and how they've rebuilt the firm and the promises that they made and kept. We're going to talk about that as well. 404-872-0750, online all the time, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. And a big hello to our listeners over in the UK. I just got a tweet from them as well. Glad you're listening today. 15 minutes past the hour. Let's go to the phones. Charlie joins us on the line from Marietta. Hey, Charlie, happy Labor Day, or Labor Less Day.
You too. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. What's on your mind?
Just got a question regarding reverse mortgages. I took out a reverse mortgage a couple of years ago when I turned 62.
Why did you do that?
Well, I have a small business. The economy was in terrible shape. I had lost my biggest account because they went out of business. And I didn't want to lose my house.
Okay.
And I just felt that was a way of protecting myself and my house. I wasn't in arrears or anything like that. But, was concerned with how bad the economy was starting to look and how bad it has gotten since then. So I think I made a good decision.
Okay.
But I never hear anybody make any comments about reverse mortgages.
Well, what would you like to hear about?
Well, I don't know. I mean, for instance, you know, I've heard people call up, Clark, and I think even you, where they've had trouble, they're in arrears, they wanted to know what to do, but no one ever recommends them, at least I haven't heard anyone recommend possibly looking or being concerned with a reverse mortgage.
Well, the reason that nobody is recommending reverse mortgages right now is, I think there are a couple of different reasons. One is that there have started to be enormous losses in the reverse mortgage area, and entire companies have stopped doing reverse mortgages, which makes them very difficult to use. Fannie Mae is no longer backing, I believe, reverse mortgages, which just leaves the federal government's reverse mortgage. And even there, when I looked at the assumptions that the government was making, they were assuming that property prices would go up at 4% per year as they were doing the calculations.
Right.
What has happened now is that many of those properties have fallen so dramatically in value that they're sort of underwater.
Uh-huh.
Beyond that, we're now seeing tremendous losses because seniors, I don't know if they just don't have the money to pay the taxes and the insurance and the other things that they're supposed to be paying, or they just forgot, or they thought somehow that it was going to be paid out of the amount of money, but there are tens of thousands of seniors who are now in arrears and not paying their taxes or insurance, and that was never envisioned.
Yeah.
And it's part of the reverse mortgage process. And so now the federal government is looking at possibly having a massive cleanup of reverse mortgages. And so one way, even though they didn't do that many a year, they were only in the height of it a couple of years ago, they were doing about 150,000 reverse mortgages. It was really a drop in the bucket. It looks like the financials were just never properly accounted for or thought about, and what would happen if these properties lost a tremendous amount of value. So if you think about it, let's say you took out a, basically you're taking out a loan with a reverse mortgage. How much money did you get on yours?
Well, I'm not taking any money out.
So you just had it as a line of credit in case you needed it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I send money in there. You know, you don't have to, but I do send, you know, money in there every month because I would like to pay it off. Primary reason I did it, I didn't want to lose the house.
Right.
Anything more happened.
Yeah, I get that. So most seniors are not like you. Most seniors, if their house was worth, let's say, $200,000 and they got a reverse mortgage for maybe 60% of that, if it was all, assuming it was all paid off, so they got $100,000 or $110,000 or $120,000, and now the house is worth about $60,000 or $70,000, and the loan is $110,000, but it's increasing rapidly at 6% a year because that interest rate was much higher.
Right.
Plus they paid all those fees, $6,000-$7,000 up front or more.
Yeah, the fees are high, I thought.
The fees are very high. And so now you end up in a situation where the lender has, you know, $120,000 or $150,000 loan and a property that's worth $60,000 or $70,000.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting how it's changed. So because the lenders are not making these loans, they're harder to get, they're very expensive, Fannie's not even doing them, I don't recommend them anymore.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Based on what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying, I didn't think about that, but are people like me in any danger of having to go out and get a mortgage?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No, risk is not on you anymore.
Okay.
The risk was on you. The risk is not on you. The risk is now on the lender.
Right.
But the lenders don't want these kinds of massive liabilities. They have no idea how to... It's very difficult to understand when property prices are collapsing what your liability is. It could be 100% liability for them in some cases, or an 80% liability or more, because the debt is ballooning at 6 or 7% a year, and the property, even if the property stays where it is, which is, let's say, $60,000 for the next 20 years...
Yeah.
You could see how you'd end up with a $300,000 mortgage against a $60,000 or $70,000 property, and that's a huge loss for the lender.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, I hear what you're saying.
So that's why people like me are not recommending them anymore. I can't speak for Clark, although I sit in his shoes.
No, he's saying
The money, the numbers are very strange right now.
Yeah, okay. All right, I appreciate your comment.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling the show, and happy Laborless Day. 20 minutes past the hour, I'm Elyse Glink. 404-872-0750 on AM 750, and now 95.5 FM, News Talk, WSB.
All day long, this Labor Day, our money team is here to help you navigate the rough waters of the economy. It's a day-long special presentation from the money experts of AM 750 and 95.5 FM, News Talk, WSB.
25 minutes past the hour, News Talk, WSB. I'm Elyse Glink, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. 25 minutes past the hour, let's go to the phones. Ben joins us on the line in Gainesville. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Elyse. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I'm sure I'm in the same position as a lot of people. My wife and I have a house, and it's upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And our mortgage we got 3 years ago when the market, for some reason, took a real spike at the time we got it. And we're stuck in a six and seven-eighths mortgage. And it's just killing me every day. And I just want you to put my mind at rest. Is there nothing I can do about it?
Well, I don't know. How upside down is your house, and what kind of mortgage do you have?
We have a
30-year... What's your house worth, do you think?
According to this year's taxes, $235,000. And we are now at $278,000 on our mortgage.
Okay. And do you have an FHA loan?
You've lost me there. I'm not exactly sure. It's just a... standard. We went to the bank and got a standard.
Okay, so you might have a conventional loan. Is it owned by Fannie or Freddie?
I think, as far as I know, it's owned by the bank. But
Okay, so the first thing you need to do is pull out your loan documents.
Okay.
And you need to look and see if the loan is backed by the Federal Housing Administration. That's an FHA loan.
Okay.
If it's backed by the FHA, then what you can do is simply go to your lender and tell them you want to do an FHA streamlined refinance. Should not cost you anything or nearly anything, and they should not pull an appraisal. Because they won't pull an appraisal, you should be able to refinance. Now, if you have a conventional loan, Fannie and Freddie, you may still be able to refinance. And if you wait just a little bit longer, probably the next 2 or 3 months, I think there's going to be another program announced, federal okay. program that you may qualify for as well.
Okay.
And
so
that there will be. I mean, are you having trouble making your payments?
No,
or you're just annoyed you're just annoyed.
I mean, it's that high, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Let me just say, Ben, 6 7/8 historically was an amazing interest rate. Now, I know, I just want to put it in perspective. When I got my first loan back in 1989, I was at almost 12%, and I felt lucky to have it.
Ouch.
Okay. But that's just what it was. You're 6 7/8. So while at the water cooler, you have nothing to brag about, historically, it's not so bad. So that's the first thing I want. And the fact that you can still make those payments as opposed to how a lot of other people are in this country.
Sure. Yeah.
So take a deep breath, right? This isn't the worst thing that's ever happened.
No.
Now, what I think is going to happen, however, is that the government is going to announce some sort of refinance program for people who are maybe as much as 150% upside down. You would fall into that category. So you need to find out who owns your loan, and you can go to Fannie Mae's website or Freddie Mac's website, and you can check it out. And you need to understand if it's an FHA loan or not. You can go to your own loan documents and know. All those questions I asked you, you need to know the answers to those to take advantage of whatever gets announced over the next few weeks. But as the housing economy is not getting any better, as President Obama becomes desperate to try and do something to revive the general overall economy, I think more of these programs will be announced. And you probably will be able to take advantage of them. But even if not, take a deep breath. You can still afford to make your mortgage payment. I'm Elise Glink. It's 29 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. More of your questions are coming up next on News Talk WSB.
All day long, this Labor Day, our money team is here to help you navigate the rough waters of the economy. It's a day-long special presentation from the money experts of AM 750 and 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
37 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Clark Howard Show. Not quite sure what we are today. What we are is Labor Day, or Laborless Day, as one of my astute Twitter followers at Glink pointed out. Laborless is right. In the wake of what happened on Friday's jobs report, wow, stock market took a beating down 253 points. That's nothing compared to what's been going on in Europe all day. In fact, banks have been leading the European shares to a two-week closing low. And if you look at how the banks have been hit, I mean, European shares just in general closed at their lowest close in more than 2 weeks on renewed worries about recession and Eurozone debt. But just looking at the Stocks Europe 600 Banks Index, it's fallen almost 6% and hit a 29-month low. It's lost more than a third of its value. And if you look at companies like Deutsche Bank, fell almost 9%, extending a decline from Friday. We have seen other bank stocks. Royal Bank of Scotland is down 12.3%. We had a U.S. regulator suing 17 large banks and financial institutions on Friday. That didn't help. All about the $200 billion of subprime bonds. That's the subprime mortgage loans that the big banks took on. And then the lawsuit contends that the banks misrepresented the quality of those loans. So Europe is not so happy, I got to say, today. But it's not just Europe. It's Asia and Africa stock markets as well that are not doing too well. Deutsche Bank says actually the European crisis could just kill weak banks altogether. And gold, again, is almost at $2,000 an ounce. It's above $1,900 an ounce. So a lot going on in Europe today. Here we have Labor Day, but across the pond, there's a lot going on. 39 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Lines are open, folks. We are here today to answer your questions about money. We want to help you this Labor Day weekend if we can, and there's so much great money advice on WSB, including a special show with Adam Goldfein tonight from 5 to 7. Let's go back to the phones. Albert joins us on the line from Marietta. Hi, Albert.
Hello, Glees.
I have a couple of questions, one of which I have a 15-year loan that's down to 6.5 years. I owe $43,000 at 5.25%, and my wife and I are both retired early. I'm one of those 17% that you talk about that was employed, that's not employed, that kind of sort of gave up.
Okay.
My wife retired anyway, but we came into some unexpected expenses, and I wanted to find out, get your opinion on whether I should pay off this $43,000 that I owe with 6.5 years ago at 5.25%. And my feeling is that I'm looking at any money that we have in the stock market. We don't have a lot of money, but we do have some in cash and some in the stock market. I feel like I'm going to be losing out of the stock market, and I feel like I should pay off this loan.
Okay, so there's two things. There's selling the money that's in the stock market and just holding it in cash, and there's paying off a loan. I don't advise you paying off a loan.
Okay.
Even at 5.25%, you're not really paying very much left. You're almost paying no interest at this point. You're just paying principal.
Okay, that's correct. That's exactly right.
Paying it off doesn't do you any good, especially if you might need the cash. Now, getting out of the stock market, That's an interesting decision. I mean, if the market does go down, and we had somebody on my Sunday show, not this weekend, but the last weekend, and he was saying that in the next 2 weeks, so we're now beginning the second week, he was expecting a massive stock market crash. Mm. And I said to him, really, that's amazing that you can time the market that way, because I can't time the market that way. My crystal ball cracked. And he's like, no, all the indicators, blah, 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 and you shouldn't be advising people. I'm like, okay. But, as a personal note and in full disclosure, I do have maybe 80% of my money in cash at the moment, but it isn't because I'm market timing. It's been in cash for almost 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if you aren't confident that over the next 20 years that you're going to be able to leave that money in the stock market, and you're not confident it's going to be higher than where it is today, or even 10 years down the line, you should sell it and hold it in cash and see what happens until you feel more confident. But I don't think you should turn around and then put all that money towards paying off this loan.
Okay, I appreciate that very much. I have one other question. $30,000 in the bank at Bank of America.
Mm-hmm. And what? They're not going out of business anytime soon.
Okay, good.
But even if they were, $30,000 is well within the $250,000 that is insured by the FDIC.
Okay.
So your money is perfectly safe.
There'll be enough money that there to replace those that have $30,000 as well, right?
Yes. I don't believe the FDIC is in danger of going bankrupt now. If you were the post office, talk about that a little bit. The post office, I'm not so sure, is going to make it another year.
Okay.
I think the post office may have outlived its usefulness. But in terms of the FDIC, there is absolutely no way, as we've watched the Fed over the last 3, 4, 5 years, there's no way that the federal government or the Fed is going to let anything happen to the FDIC, because if anybody even suspected that the FDIC was not going to be able to pay its bills, then we would have absolute market chaos and the stock market would completely crash and you would have other problems than your $30,000. So I don't believe that will happen any way, shape, or form. Your $30,000 is safe.
Well, good. Thank you very much, Elise. We appreciate it very much.
You're very welcome. All Thanks for calling the show today, and happy Laborless Day. 43 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Ray joins us on the line from Lawrenceville. Hi, Ray. Happy Laborless Day.
Hey, you too.
Thank you. What's on your mind today?
I think I made a pretty big boo-boo that I need some advice about.
Tell me, what happened?
I bought my first child was born, I bought a term life insurance policy.
For yourself or your child?
For myself.
Okay.
Primary breadwinner, stuff like that.
So good.
Yeah. Okay. The bad part about it is I can't find that insurance policy, and I know based on the length of the policy that it's probably going to hit a maturity date, I thought within like the next 3 years. So I was just kind of, as part of my financial planning stuff, wanting to start taking a look at that, wanting to decide what my next move was going to be with regard to life insurance and financial planning, estate planning, et cetera. But I can't find the original policy.
Is that the mistake?
That's my mistake.
No, that's not so bad.
Cool.
Do you remember the company that you bought it from?
Oh, yeah. I'm still paying premiums on a monthly basis.
Awesome. Have you called them up?
No, not yet. I actually, before I did that, I kind of wanted to just get your advice, Clark Howard's advice on, whether or not I got a major problem here, or whether or not they should be forthright and give me a copy of the policy?
They will absolutely give you a copy of the policy. Call them up, say I've lost it. They will probably ask you to fill out some sort of an affidavit, provide proof of who you are. There may even, this is one of the reasons, folks, that it's a good idea to actually have an online account with these different companies, because then you can call, you're already online with them. And you have an, it's like looking online at say, your electronic bank account or electronic credit card account, right?
Yeah.
So you're constantly watching it. But I would just call them up and I would say, hey, I've misplaced my policy and I'd like to think about, you know, where we are. Can you send me a renewal or can you send me a new one? And they'll say, sure, no problem at all. I mean, imagine if there had been a house fire and you lost it.
Right.
They will, you know, you're sending the money, you've got the records of those payments. There shouldn't be any problem with this. This is not what I would call a major mistake. You know what a major mistake would be?
No.
Get to the end of the policy, but you don't know it, and now you're uninsured and something happens to you.
Oh, okay, yeah. Hey, can I ask you a question about that?
Sure.
One of the reasons I wanted to look at this is because I thought because they were the original underwriters of me and my health care.
Hey, hang on, Ray. We have a breaking tornado warning. Stand by.
Okay.
Ray has been on the phone with us, and Ray, your question, but you were just getting to what your next question was.
Yes. Term life insurance policy that I have, because it was originally underwritten and, you know, they drew my blood work and got all my health characteristics, I thought it might be because I've hit a maturity date or will hit a hard maturity date, I want to consider them, or is it going to be a financially viable option to consider them for an easier underwriting this time, or do I have to kind of just go out to the market?
How old are you going to be on your next birthday?
52.
Okay, I think you hit the hard date at 50. Now, I think, I don't think the next date, I mean, maybe every year at this age is sort of a harder date, but I think you want to look at how old is your youngest child?
They're in their mid-teens.
Okay, and you think the policy expires in about 3 more years?
2 to 3.
I would have liked for you to have called when you were 48.
No kidding. Bummer.
And at that time, I would have said to you, get another 10 or 20-year level load term policy.
Yeah.
And cover your kids up until their late 20s or even into their 30s, and then you're done. You're now a little bit older. They're a little bit older. I'm going to give you the same advice. Go find as cheap a term life policy as you can. It doesn't matter that you have your current policy in place. Just leave that where it is. It's probably pretty inexpensive.
Right.
And go get another policy. It's called laddering. You're going to have a couple of years where they overlap each other just in case something happens to you. Like, say, next year, you'll have twice the coverage. But it will cover you through this next phase of their lives, through college and through, you know, whatever it is. And it'll also cover your spouse as well. So I would go and do that now. You can ask your current insurance company if they can extend your coverage, but they probably won't. They'll probably want to re-underwrite you. And they can be in the, you know, you can have them do it as well as a couple of other companies, get some different quotes and bids and go from there. But don't expect them to just do it without re-underwriting.
Yeah, I kind of thought that would. Okay. Well, I know I established a payment history with them and all that, and that might.
Yeah, right now it's all about age and health and healthcare. It's really not about how well you pay your bills.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, well, thanks for your help.
You're welcome, Ray. Thanks so much, and good luck finding your policy. 49 minutes past the hour. Let's take a quick call from Alice. Hey, Alice, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. So you want to talk about reverse mortgages, right? Did it work for you?
Oh, I think it has been the most marvelous thing we ever did. We did it 2 years ago. We had bought sold property and bought our dream house, and it was appraised at $675,000.
Mm-hmm.
And we put $300,000 down on it. So we only had about $330,000 that we had to do the reverse mortgage on. And they did the appraisal, and the appraisal came in pretty good, close to that. They had down some because of the market, and we did get our money, got quite a bit of money back on that. And we knew from the onset that you always had to pay your taxes and your insurance, and that's just like anything else. Everybody gets a tax bill, and they know that it doesn't slip upon you. So we arranged it where we knew when our taxes were due and how much we had to save to keep into there. And it has been the most marvelous thing that happened, because at the time, my house payment was nearly $1,900. And my husband, we did it in September 2 years ago, And in October this past year, my husband lost his job. And if we had not have done it, we would have lost our house and everything. But doing it, it saved our home. We had money in savings. And it has been the biggest blessing in this world. And I recommend it highly to everybody. My sister and her husband live in Snellville, and they recently did it about 6 months ago. And I just don't see how anybody could go wrong, because in this market, you would never, ever be able to get our $300,000 that we put down.
Well, it's a great story, and I'm so glad you called to say it. And if it weren't such a big problem for so many seniors who aren't as conscientious as you about paying your taxes and insurance, could be a big problem. 51 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
On this Labor Day, make the most of the fruits of your labors. Get the information you need to get through these uncertain times with the money experts from AM 750 and 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
56 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. This Labor Day or Laborless Day. So glad you're with us today. 404-872-0750. Stuart joins us on the line from Sandy Springs. Hi, Stuart.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind today?
I got a question for you. Here's my situation. I'm in the construction industry, and I specialize in a little niche area, and business has been steady. So that's not, you know, I mean, it goes up and down, but that's not the major concern. Anyway, I'm recently divorced. And I found a house that's on a short sale, and got approved for the mortgage and everything else with 3% down. But the question I have is, if the economy's going to go in the tank, if we're headed towards, you know, a further recession, depression, whatever, you know, is it the right time to invest in a home for somebody in my situation?
You know, it's really interesting. I think that there are some amazing deals out there, and there will be all next year, too. So you have to decide if you're getting the very best price you can. Banks are somehow under the illusion that they can get more money out of these properties, and they're killing deals left and right. I've watched it all over the country happen.
Yes.
Not quite sure what the thinking... What seems to be the thinking is that they're outsourcing this to third-party vendors, and then they don't give them, the third-party vendors, the ability to make smart decisions.
Right.
So it's just getting bogged down. The real question is, what's going to happen this coming year? And I got to say, I'm a little bit concerned about our options, both on the Republican, Democratic, and Tea Party side for the presidential election. My husband Sam and I have been talking about, you know, what's going to happen depending on which party gets elected. And I got to say, I'm not impressed so far with anything I'm hearing. And I'm very concerned that next year, which will be 4 years after 2008 or 2012, the same amount of time as in 1930 to 1937, when we had another recession in this country after the Great Depression that lasted all the way through World War II. I worry that that's where we could be headed. More on this in a couple of minutes. Stuart, thank you so much for your call. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. You're listening to News Talk WSB.
This Labor Day, make the most of the fruits of your labors. Get the information you need to get through these uncertain times with the money experts from AM 750 and 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
11 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Klink, here today on Labor Day, live in for Clark. AM 750, now 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB, our number 404-872-0750. Online all the time, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. You can follow me on Twitter. I've been tweeting with one of my correspondents over the last half hour, at glink, at glink. You can find me at CBS's moneywatch.com, where nearly 750,000 people checked out my blogs last month. A lot of good stuff there. And also the Equifax Finance blog, where real live financial experts help you out, answer your questions, and provide you with some insight to help you get through uncertain times. Just go to EquifaxFinanceBlog.com or just Equifax.com, and you can click to it from the homepage. That's usually easier. 404-872-0750. We are, as you can hear from Kirk Mellish, who is actually live in the Weather Center today, working on Labor Day, like me, like all of us here at the station. We're going to be breaking in and keeping on top of all of the weather news that's going on out there. Really serious storm system coming through right now, and we want, of course, to have you be safe and sound. So stay tuned to News Talk WSB. I'm just guessing we're going to break in again for some news, weather news shortly. 12 minutes past the hour. Let's see if we can get some questions answered. Scott joins us on the phone from Atlanta. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Lise. Just want to say I always enjoy your show, and thanks for being here on Labor Day for us.
I'm delighted to do it and to be happy to do it. What's going on in your world?
I have a primary residence and a rental property that I've owned for 5 years, just one property.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of forming an LLC. And I know there's been some talk about it before, and I just want to kind of get my bearings if it's, you know, what do I do? I know I have to go to an attorney. I know I have to create a, a separate company with the state and get a business account going and write the mortgage company from that business account.
Why do you want to do this?
Well, I've been just told that to, I guess, reduce or eliminate your liability in case of being sued.
Okay, if you want to eliminate liability, the easier thing to do is to purchase an umbrella liability property that will cover this property.
Now, I've already done that.
So how much is that for?
$1 million.
You could up it to $5 million for probably not that much more than you're paying.
Okay.
And eliminate this issue altogether. And the $60 or $100 a year or $150 a year you would pay is less than you would pay to do the tax return for the LLC, let alone setting it all up and paying all the fees to the state.
That's interesting.
So I'm always about what's simple and easy.
Good. Well, what's the push on the LLC then? When would that be appropriate?
If you had a partner, that might be an appropriate thing. Or if you were buying a ton of other properties and you wanted to collect them all inside one business thing so you could just sell the business unit if you wanted to.
Okay.
If you were running some sort of other kind of a property management business and you wanted to flow the profits from it right back into your, you know, into your regular income, or you wanted to add, let's say you wanted to take 50% of the profits, and we're going to take another quick break for weather, folks. Hang on. Elise Glink sitting in for Clark today on News Talk WSB, and as you just heard, we'll keep everybody on top of what's going on with the weather situation, which is really volatile at the moment. Scott is on the line with us from Atlanta. We're talking a little bit about LLCs and when it would be a good use to have one. So, for example, Scott, I was saying if you are looking at estate planning and this was going to be a business that made a whole lot of money, right, you're going to buy let's say you're going to buy 1,000 rental units, and you want your children, should you have any, to get 50% of the profits. You could start this company and give them minority ownership, 40%, and that would flow directly to them, or, you know, a spouse or a partner or something like that. So those are kinds of reasons to do an LLC.
Okay.
But just for one property, and then plus, you know, then you really have to, you have a problem with the lender, because right now you have a loan for yourself, but if you become an LLC, then the LLC, the property has to be in the LLC, and then the loan would not be tied to the LLC. You'd have to get the lender's permission. The lender may not want to do it. They could call the loan. You're really opening yourself up for a can of worms for one rental property.
Sure.
Well, I think you take a pass and just bump up your liability umbrella policy to $5 million, call it a day.
Okay, so I would have one for my rental property, and it would be good to have one. Would it be good to have one for my primary property?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
And you may be able to have one for both. So you should talk to your insurance agent and see what they can do for you.
Okay, great advice, and thanks for all that you do.
Oh, you're welcome, Scott. Thanks for listening to the show today. 18 minutes past the hour. 404-872-0750. Sandy joins us on the line. Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
Hi, how can I help you today?
I had a question for you. I thank you very much for all your wisdom, and I appreciate you and Clark very much.
Oh,
I just wanted to ask about a house that's underwater with a conventional mortgage, no longer with Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, It's been sold about four or five times, and the last lender that picked it up or bought it is a huge one of the big three. Very difficult to deal with. Not late, never been late, never made, you know, any mistakes there, but are doing everything to keep the monthly payment paid for credit reasons. We're underwater by $100,000. Mm-hmm. We don't want to stay in the house. If we could find a way where we can't refinance, we've been refused a modification. We have tried everything with this bank. We've gone in to try to sit down with someone, and we've gotten nowhere. And so we have a question about a deed in lieu of foreclosure and what your advice is there.
Okay, well, a deed in lieu of foreclosure is a little bit better for your credit, but it'll trash your credit, basically. And you'll be out of the box for about 2 years, two to four years. You won't be able to buy another property with a loan. And that's basically what it is. You just have to get the lender to accept it. And you want to make sure that this is finished and done, because and you don't want to sign any promissory notes, because you just want to be done with this.
Well, yes, because that would, you know, in other words, we would try with a short sale if we, you know, felt like they were going to make us sign a promissory note. But that is another question I have that relates to this. With the Tax Relief Act that was done to help people in situations with their homes, there's not supposed to be any taxation on deficiency judgments by the IRS
until 2013.
Until through 2012. So how can the banks do it?
Well, they're not.
Well, no, but what they're not taxing us. They wouldn't be taxing us on a deficiency, but if we did do a short sale, and I've understood that they can definitely make you sign a promissory note for the deficiency.
You know what? They can try to make you sign it.
Oh.
They can't make you sign it. You can say no, go ahead and foreclose.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do not agree to sign a promissory note. That is a one-way ticket downward. You don't want that.
Okay.
They take it back. It's done, signed off, sealed, delivered, and that's all there is. And you know, you should talk to a real estate attorney about what your legal options would be and what your liabilities would be. But you know, if the bank comes to you and says, "Yeah, we'll do a short sale if you sign a promissory note," then say, "Forget it. Go ahead and foreclose. You're going to lose even more money." I would hold that out, because as long as your credit's going to be trashed, the difference between a deed in lieu and a foreclosure is just not that great. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of the show and latest weather breaking updates and News Talk WSB.
All day long, this Labor Day, our money team is here to help you navigate the rough waters of the economy. It's a day-long special presentation from the money experts of AM 750 and 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
26 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. You know, it is so scary out there, and there's so much changing weather that I've asked Kurt Mellish after the news to come on and spend a few minutes talking to us about how you can stay safe and what you might expect as Tropical Storm Lee continues to slowly make its way through the area. So we're going to have him on just after the news. So he's going to have a big, you know, weather thing here at the news, and then he's going to stay around and chat with us for a little bit after that. So stay tuned. I wanted to direct your attention to an article that ran in Time Magazine online this week. I'll put a link up. And by the way, the show notes for today are already up at thinklink.com. Just click on today's blog. But really interesting story about how a homeless shelter in Skid Row in Los Angeles, there's a man who once made a six-figure salary as a successful Hollywood film and sitcom producer. I mean, he's produced movies that have grossed tens of millions at the box office, was well-represented by one of the largest television agencies, was friends with well-known actors, and now he lives in a homeless shelter. And there are people in this country who were middle class or even upper middle class who are now so down on their luck, desperate to find work, can't find work, but down on their luck, who are now living in homeless shelters. And these shelters are absolutely strapped. It's happening in Georgia. It's happening in Illinois. It's happening in Florida, California, across this country. Now, in California, the state's jobless rate hit 12% last month. It's the second worst in the country. But the broader measure of unemployment, that's the U6 I keep talking about that includes the part-time workers and people outside the labor force who have been looking for a job, 22% in California, 24% in Los Angeles. The national average is only 16.5%, only 16.5%. It's very scary what's happening out there, and I'm just going to keep hammering home on this unemployment thing because I know that there are a lot of people who feel like, oh, these people just want to take unemployment and they don't want to look for a job. This guy wants a job. He wants to be back earning his six figures just as soon as he possibly can. His wife used to be a nursing assistant. She'd like to have her $45,000 a year job back as well. 28 minutes past the hour. Kirk Mellish is going to come on next. Stay tuned for news, weather, and traffic on News Talk WSB.
This Labor Day, News Talk WSB brings together the financial brain trust for the help and information you need in these troubled economic times. Bring your questions, anxieties, and money woes to our experts all day long. It's something special you can depend on from AM 750 and 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
41 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Clark today. We're having a whole day of financial information for you and also weather information. Wow, it is really storming out. These are very, very dangerous storms. 404-872-0750 is our number here, online all the time. ThinkGlink.com. I've asked Kirk Mellish to stay on and talk to us for a little bit about what's going on and why these storms are just taking as long as they are. Kurt, welcome to, or I should say, welcome back, because you were just here a moment ago. Nice to have you on with us. So I've been listening to you all afternoon talk about these storms and how it strikes me that it is such slow going with this storm. Like, what is it moving? About 2-3 miles an hour?
Yeah, the center of what's left of Lee is barely moving to the north-northeast, and that's the reason this is going to be a prolonged weather event, as we say. It's not the typical situation where you have fast-moving thunderstorms and a strong jet stream or a strong cold front that's going to whip through the area, and you just have a concentrated few hours of thunderstorm warnings or tornado warnings. In this case, you get band after band, slowly the spiral bands around the center of the low will keep coming through, then you'll get a break, then another wave will come through, then you get a break, then another wave, and so on and so forth, just because, like you say, the center of that low pressure system is far removed from the jet stream. The jet stream's up near the Canadian border, so there's no real push to move this low pressure system along.
Well, it's really kind of interesting. We watched as Lee, and it's sort of interesting how it's kind of come out of order. I was said to my husband Sam the other day, I said, what happened to J and K? We went from Irene to Lee, and I guess J and K are still offshore somewhere. They haven't quite formed. They just got named, and now we have Lee. And Lee dumped something like 20 inches of rain over the Gulf states, didn't it?
Yeah, areas near the coast, we have seen 10 to at least 15 inches of rainfall.
Wow.
Indicated there, serious flooding in many areas, even around New Orleans. And we did have the Jade Storm, but it formed actually right behind Irene, and since it wasn't going to threaten anybody, everyone just kind of ignored it because it wasn't a factor. And Katja is still out there in the Atlantic, still could be a threat by the end of this week or the weekend, anywhere from North Carolina up into southeast Canada.
Wow, it could get hit the same place all over again?
Potentially. Now,
wow.
Right now, it looks like it will be, shall we say, a near hit or a near miss, whichever phrase you prefer.
Yeah.
But it's looks like it's going to come awfully close just offshore from North Carolina north and then start to curve northeast. But we also expect during the next day or so for Katja to turn into a Category 3, possibly even a Category 4 hurricane. So that's going to be very serious. Then we get a break after whatever that one's going to do passes off to the northeast. But then 10 to 15 days from now, there are indications that there's going to be another threat of a potential hurricane, this time possibly in the Gulf of Mexico and or the southeast. So this is the peak of the season during the course of the next few weeks, and unfortunately Mother Nature is living up to it.
I'll tell you, it's really crazy. I have a friend in Connecticut. He's still living in a hotel with his dog, and they keep saying to him, maybe Tuesday you're going to get back into your house. His office has been flooded out as well. But, you know, the flooding that we're starting to see, and I'm hearing all the flood warnings going on, You know, what do you think the potential is for rainstorms here and the amount of rain that we could get? I mean, it sounds like Carroll County is just getting smacked, but what do you think is really going to happen over the next 12 hours?
Well, it's interesting. With these tropical systems or remnants, a lot of the rain is actually on the light side, just kind of sprinkly and nuisance variety. And then from time to time, you'll get one of these spiral feeder bands that come through and contain just gully washers that, you know, have the, you know, silver dollar sized raindrops and just load up a heavy amount in a very brief period of time. So I'm estimating on average during the course of the next 48 hours, much of Metro Atlanta is going to see 2 to 4 inches of rain on average. Some unlucky spot may see 6-inch totals. And up in the Georgia Mountains, we fear anywhere from 7 to 9 inches.
That's a lot of rain. Now, these tornadoes that kind of pop up out of nowhere with no warning, no lightning, you should just get caught in the middle of that. You know, what are the wind gusts like at that point in time, and should people in Carroll County just get off the roads right now?
Yeah, it's really, there's no reason to be out there when we have a tornado watch for the entire Atlanta area and a flood watch. Unless it's an emergency situation, stay home, stay inside, keep the family there as well, and that way you'll be safe. Because, as you said, this kind of situation, even though the tornadoes tend to be on the weaker side, not those giant ones we saw in the Midwest and parts of the South in the spring and especially April, they're not that kind, but they still contain winds that may be as high as 80 miles an hour, so that's hurricane force, even if it only lasts 3 to 10 minutes and might only be the size of a football field.
Yeah, Crystal Wheeler, our executive producer, was talking about how she was driving back from Kentucky yesterday with a massive hailstorm. Was that part of the system as well?
No.
No, just another random
hail. That was part of a cold front that was coming down to meet Lee.
Oh,
and that's,
man,
one of the reasons we're expecting so much heavy rain in parts of North Georgia is because the moisture from Tropical Lee is interacting with that cold front that was coming down from the north.
When do we clear Lee out, do you think?
Probably not until roughly the noon hour tomorrow. So tomorrow afternoon, the chance of an additional shower or thunder shower drops way down to only about 30%. That'll probably linger into Wednesday. But the worst of it is going to be today and tonight.
Wow. So let's just do a quick recap on where we are with warnings. And, of course, the warning means something is actually happening right there. Now, watch is sort of, we're keeping an eye on it. Is that right?
That's right. Just getting an update now. The tornado warning for southeastern Paulding County has been canceled. However, the tornado warning for Cobb County does continue until 3:15, and that's the only active one we have right now. Let me give you an update on the storm tracker off the Doppler radar. Indicates during the course of the next several minutes, this storm with a potential tornado will be affecting Powder Mill, McEachern Woods, Timber Chase, Lost Mountain Woods, and Fox Ridge by 2:48. We're looking at Fox Ridge, Cobb Crossing, Watson Glen, and also Gold Creek, Lost Mountain, and Hardy Hills as that storm moves to the north-northeast at about 30 miles an hour. Also seeing some pretty hefty returns on the radar still in a good part of Carroll County right now, edging into the northwest corner of Douglas County and to a lesser extent up in Cherokee County. But by far, the area that's the greatest threat right now, indicated on the radar, is that area up in Cobb County. So you should be taking cover right now.
I'm feeling like this is a good time to microwave your Labor Day dinner.
Yeah, I think so. Forget that grill.
Oh my gosh. Kirk Mellish, thank you so much. I know you're going to stay on top of it this afternoon, and
of course,
we'll break in the moment there's anything. Thanks so much. We'll let you get back to your weather center. It is 49 minutes past the hour. 404-872-0750. You know, we just felt, folks, that we wanted to give you an eye on what's going on right now. Be safe. It's just not worth being outside when you've got a potential of an 80-mile-an-hour wind gust. We saw the reporters from CNN. Jeff Flock was out there in the middle of the hurricane, in the middle of Irene. There are some great stories from friends of mine who are photographers for Fox. Sheila, one of my friends, lost 2 whole trucks full of equipment due to the rising floodwater. So this kind of stuff can go up very, very quickly. We definitely want you to be safe, and we're going to stay on top of it here at News Talk WSB. 50 minutes past the hour, we'll take a quick break and then back with more of your questions and a whole nother hour here on News Talk WSB. much, Kurt. Of course, we're going to keep you updated on what's going on. And, folks, for those of you who keep hearing a little sounder, a little noise about every 90 seconds, we're running that here on WSB to let you know that there are tornado warnings, severe weather in the area for Cobb and Cherokee. Tornado warnings, very, very serious. Cobb until 3:15, Cherokee County until 3:30. We want you to take cover. We want you to be safe. We're going to keep playing that sounder until those warnings are lifted. I'm Elise Klink. We will be back with hopefully some answers to your questions and weather updates shortly on News Talk WSB.
This Labor Day, make the most of the fruits of your labors. Get the information you need to get through these uncertain times with the money experts from AM 750 and 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
13 minutes past the hour, 3:13, this Labor Day or Labor Less Day if you're out of a job looking for work. I'm Elise Glink. We have had just a huge amount of weather information for you this hour. We're going to keep in touch with Kirk Mellish. If you're hearing a little noise about every 90 seconds on the station, that alerts you to the fact that we have some severe weather warnings. Right now, tornado warnings for Cobb and Cherokee counties. Cobb until 3:15, another 2 minutes or so. Cherokee until 3:30, and we're going to stay on top of that for you as well. If you are a Wells Fargo or Wachovia customer and you no longer can afford to pay your mortgage, even if you're currently on time, tomorrow and Wednesday, Wells Fargo is hosting a homeownership preservation workshop at the Georgia World Congress Center, September 8th, September 9th. It's tomorrow and Wednesday. They have room for 1,500 people. What they have done is fly in hundreds of Wells Fargo employees from all over the country, people who help people do loan modifications and loan workouts. Everybody's going to be in the same place. So you always hear me talking about how it's better if you can get face-to-face with people. If you have a Wells Fargo mortgage or a Wachovia mortgage, you can do this and get face-to-face with people tomorrow and Wednesday. You can call to reserve your spot. You don't need a reservation. They want one so they can try to plan for it. 1-800-405-8067. 1-800-405-8067. Leave a message. There's just a voicemail box there. And you can go online as well. There's a link on my blog today to this program and what you can get. Now, the documents you're going to need, this is a long list, and again, this is up on my blog. Your most recently filed and signed federal tax returns with all the schedules, including Schedule E. The recent statement for every savings account, money market account, CD, bond, stock, IRA, 401k, that kind of stuff. Most recent statement for every credit card and department store card, auto, student loan, any mortgage loan or lien. You'll have to provide recent pay stubs in your W-2. If you're self-employed, we want to see quarterly or year-to-date profit and loss statements and 90-day statements from your bank. If you get Social Security, disability or death benefits, a pension, adoption assistance, public assistance, unemployment, you need a benefit letter or statement providing the stated amount, frequency, and duration of the benefit. Two most recent bank statements showing receipt of such payments. If you are relying on alimony, child support, divorce or other court decree, separation agreement, other written agreement filed with the court, they have to see all of that information. And finally, a lease agreement for borrowers who are relying on rental income. You can go. This is free. It is actually really worthwhile. They were just in Chicago. They helped hundreds and hundreds of people in Chicago. I've met with the senior vice president who's overseeing the program. I feel very confident in recommending it to you. So if you have a Wachovia or Wells Fargo mortgage, you can't make that payment, or you're in danger of not being able to make that payment. They're open tomorrow at the Georgia World Congress Center tomorrow and Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. You can call 1-800-405-8067 or link to the website and get information about it. But I encourage you to go. All right, let's go back to the phones. It's 17 minutes past the hour. David's on the line with us. David, welcome to the program. Oh, we just lost David. Sorry about that, David. Let's try Marcus. Marcus is on the line with us from Ellenwood. Marcus, you with us?
Yes, I am. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. Welcome to the Elise Glink Show. What can I do for you today?
I'm calling about a rental property that I have. I purchased one about 2 years ago, and I'm thinking about getting a third.
The question that I have is that I got the first two with mortgages on them. And I'm not really sure if I want to get a third mortgage. I'm not sure if that's the right way to go. But I'm getting good income on both rental properties. One of them is on Section 8, and the other is I just rent it out. So
okay.
My question to you, I'm trying to figure out, you know, is this best route to go? Me and my wife, we really don't have any debt except our mortgages. And we have a household income of about $135,000.
Mm-hmm.
And we have about $40,000 to $50,000 in savings.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that I never really like the idea of spending all of your cash on this kind of a thing because it's very illiquid, meaning it's very hard to get out.
Right.
And it's very hard to get mortgages for rental properties these days, although you only have two, so you still could get a third and maybe even a fourth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not too bad. The question is, do you really want to do that? And where do you want to have it? And if you're making money now, you know, is now the right time to do it, or do you want to save another $15,000 or $20,000 and then in 6 months pay for cash with one?
Right.
You kind of have to figure out how you want that to work. And it's, you know, do you have an accountant that you work with or somebody who can help you think about this kind of stuff?
We have a couple of people closely related to the family we've been dealing with as far as communicating back and forth. I mean, they were the ones that kind of pushed us towards the whole investing in, you know, a little bit of real estate right now, being that real estate is, you know, so cheap.
Yeah, it is. It is cheap. So certainly if you want to think about buying another one, you can. I guess the question is, for me, how much more time do you want to spend on this? Each house requires a little bit more work, a little bit more thought. Now you have three properties to keep track of. At some point in time, if you have a full-time job that obviously pays you a decent amount of money, I guess either your wife is going to be managing this if she doesn't work, or you're going to have to start thinking about putting more of your free time towards it. And I just I want you to think it all through before you go out and just buy a house.
Okay. And the other thing is, too, that the houses that we're able to acquire, you know, they really don't need much work at all. You know, they're like, you know, built in, you know, 04 and 05.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so it's just like we really have very minimum maintenance requirements on any of them.
It sounds really great. So you're calling the show to have me bless you doing this? Go ahead. You're doing a good job. Enjoy. I'm just caution. You know, I'm always cautious one. I want you to be careful with this stuff.
I listen to you all the time, and I love your advice, and, you know, I don't know. I'm a big fan. I'll just say that.
Well, thank you, Marcus. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad that you're doing this. You know, important to really just be so careful and cautious as you think about your investments that you're making. I mean, think about how hard you work for this money. You're doing well. I want to keep seeing you do well. So as long as you keep having a nice, healthy emergency fund, you can figure out how you want to get a mortgage, get a renter in there, and it's near each other. So if you're managing one, it's right next door or in the same neighborhood. You're not traveling halfway across the county to get to the other property and using up extra time there. Go for it. You seem to have it down, and that's a really good thing. 404-872-0750, 20 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glenk. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more and weather updates on News Talk WSB.
All day long, this Labor Day, our money team is here to help you navigate the rough waters of the economy. It's a day-long special presentation from the money experts of AM 750 and 95.5 FM. News Talk WSB.
45 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glenk. As you can tell, we are in the middle of a crazy weather system that's going to be here. Kirk Mellish told me earlier this afternoon, probably until noon tomorrow. So keep on the lookout. Stay tuned to News Talk WSB for the latest in storm and weather updates, including this very, very scary news that it looks like a tornado has actually touched down in the Kennesaw area, and we'll have more details on that coming up. A correction from whatever it was ago. We were talking about the Wells Fargo Homeownership Preservation Workshop. I said it was September 8th and 9th, and then I said it's tomorrow and Wednesday. Well, I should know, because September 9th is my son Alex's 16th birthday, that it's Thursday and Friday of this week. So there's plenty of time for you to make your reservations. to have a spot. They have Wells Fargo has room for 1,500 people who are looking to get a loan modification. Now, they sent out 9,500 invitations to this. They have room for 1,500 people. About 700 have signed up already. And even if you didn't get an invitation, you can still go. If you have a Wells Fargo or Wachovia loan and you're having trouble making those payments, or you know you will be having trouble, maybe you've just lost your job, something's happened, go call this number, 800-405-8067. Leave a message. They will get your name onto a sheet. Somebody will get back to you with a reservation number. Or time for September 8th and 9th, which is Thursday and Friday, not tomorrow and Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. I don't know. I guess for some reason I thought today was the 7th, but it's the 5th. Anyway, please do this. If you are having trouble making those mortgage payments, let's see if we can sit you down face-to-face with these 200 people who are coming in from Wells Fargo and get something done. Wouldn't that be nice? I'm sure you would sleep so much better. All right, 46 minutes past the hour. Let's see if we can get a quick call in. David joins us on the line from Woodstock. Hi, David.
How are you today, Elise? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you for being patient with our weather updates. What can I do for you?
Okay, my wife and I just purchased an investment property. It's the first time we've ever done something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have some money due at the closing as it being a 20% down payment on the property.
Okay.
And I was kind of wondering, because we have some savings, we have some gold coins, we have a home equity loan. Which would be the best way to come up with that check for $35,000 on the day of the closing?
Well, I think that, first of all, remember you can't do a personal check and you can't use cash. So you're going to have to actually get a cashier's check, something that somebody might have thought to tell you, but apparently not.
All right.
So I will tell you, they don't take cash at closings and they don't take personal checks.
Uh-huh.
If you want to use a cashier's check but fund it out of, say, a home equity line of credit, I don't have a problem with that. You got to look at the interest rate on that. If you want to sell some gold coins, you can. That might take a little bit of time. When are you supposed to close?
On the 8th of October.
So you got a little bit of time if you wanted to sell gold coins. Geez, gold is at $1,900 an ounce plus.
I heard you earlier, yeah.
Oh, really? Like, you just want to sell it all. My younger son got some gold coins for his birthday this year, and I think it was only... All right, we're going to take another quick break for weather and traffic, David. Hang on.